tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. So from our little experiment yesterday in doing the horoscopes, did it appear that people's karma is fixed, or did it appear that the astrological charts were accurate? What do you think? The future. What's the difference? You mean this in this lifetime? Yeah, I'm sure there can be some modification. But generally, the type of activities that we're prone to do are the same. But whether we do them in Krishna consciousness or not, that's variable. That's up to us. That Prabhupada said we can't change our karma, but we can change our Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness means what? What does that mean? Yes. And how do we become conscious of Krishna? What is the main process? Yes, the nine processes, of which hearing is the most important. So it seems that our chart, whatever it says, if we really want to, we can hear and chant about Krishna. Just like in this age, we can chant Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter what our chart says. One devotee, I remember one time, some astrologer told him in his chart he's going to have a difficult time for so many years. So he decided just to watch television during that time. He figured it was going to be difficult anyway. So that type of understanding what the future holds. In other words, in any circumstance, we can become Krishna conscious. Although sometimes the circumstances may not be so pleasant. And astrologers are not always so accurate. There's one story of one king. He called all the astrologers in his kingdom, which was hundreds of astrologers, and he asked them a question. He said, how long will you have left to live? So they all wrote down different answers. Some said 50 years, some said 10 years, and said, except for one astrologer who said it was up to the king. So he called all those who said 50 years, 100 years, 10 years, whatever. He said he called them all together, and he executed them all. Except for the astrologers who said it was up to the king. So much for astrologers. At least they didn't get the longevity right. So today we'll go over a little bit more about we'll go over the uses of astrology. Yes. Yeah, we talk about Vanashram in our society nowadays. So one of the uses of astrology, of course, will be for Vanashram. Marriage compatibility. Sometimes the devotees rely upon that after they decide who they want to marry. Then they want a compatibility chart just to make sure that they'll be all right. And if it's not all right, they get married anyhow. But the Vedic conception was not just to do an astrological chart after they decide to get married. These things were done generally by the parents beforehand. And then some kind of in-depth study would be done. First of all, people would generally get married within their own caste. And therefore, it was likely that their backgrounds would be similar. And then it would be checked out. Of course, Vedic culture was different from modern society because it was an extended family. Therefore, you just didn't marry, man and woman just being together for 20, 50 years, whatever it is. It was a whole family you were born into, or you married into. And at the same time, before they got married, there would be some kind of understanding what their spiritual aims in life were, how many children they wanted, etc. Everything would be worked out so there wasn't so many surprises. that you find out after you got married that she wants 10 children, you don't want any. So it's going to be a little difficult to work that out. Or she wants a big house and you want to keep on traveling. So that type of arrangements won't be very compatible, especially after you get married and then you start discussing. In any case, astrology is supposed to work those things out, but astrology is not sufficient. Other factors have to be there, like communication over basic issues. Plus, just basically, an understanding of the background of the people that you're dealing with. Of course, also for occupation, Prabhupada recommends astrology in his a paper he wrote in Gita Nagari, about Gita Nagari. This was in the 1950s. And there he said that children should be trained in Gurukul and that their varnas should be ascertained through the use of astrology. Because more or less, a good astrologer can ascertain what is probably the most likely occupation someone will have. Of course, nowadays our occupations, our modes of nature are so mixed up that sometimes it's difficult to exactly know. The more mixed up people's modes of nature have become, then the more they've complicated occupations. Previously, you used to be a farmer, or administrator, or a teacher, and or a helper. And nowadays, you're psychophysical, chemical, industrial engineer, and you're the chief executive vice president of the corporation. So it's become much more complicated, and everyone has become specialized. Everyone knows nothing about everything and a little bit about, or they've become completely specialized in some particular tiny field that's unrelated to everything else. And then, but this is not the Vedic, therefore it's very difficult to figure out people's occupation because it's so mixed up. But it's possible. Then, of course, well, what other uses can astrology have in terms of practical uses? Of course, they used to have the kings before they used to fight. There was an astrology, mundane astrology, telling you when you should go rage the war, whether you're going to be victorious or not. There's a whole, practically for anything, for the farmers planting their fields, they would ascertain the omens and the particular time of the year and the time of the day and the hour where it would be auspicious to plant crops or to cultivate them and to harvest them. Practically in every field, for journeys there is an astrological science. There are all the different types of timings for sacrifices, for creating temples, installing the deities. Everything there is in astrology. Because astrology tells you how the modes of material nature are flowing, and if you want to do something in ignorance, like raging a war, something that's more or less governed by tamagun, then the best time to do it is during the malefic influence. If you do it in the mode of good, during the time when the mode of goodness is prominent, under a star which is ruling the mode of goodness, you go out and fight. You know, the enemy may be really enthusiastic to fight, and thinking of, I don't know what you're thinking about in the mode of goodness. Maybe you're thinking about the forest and the birds chirping. And anyhow, there's different moods to do different things in. If you want to make money, to make money in the mode of ignorance or goodness won't be very, if you're in the mode of goodness and you're too honest. How much does this cost you? Oh, it costs 50 cents. But why are you selling for $20 then? Or if you're in the mode of ignorance, and you can't get out of bed to do your work, then you're unlikely to make very much money. So every particular endeavor requires a certain mode. making killing or making war is the mode of ignorance, making money in the mode of passion. Or if you want to learn something, it's good to start it when you're in the mode of goodness. So there is a science like that. Veda is, or the astrology is known as the eyes, Jyotish means the eyes of the Vedas, Jyoti Shastra. Like Jyoti, which means light. So it's the knowledge by which it gives light to all the other parts of the Vedas. Tells you the time factor. Prabhupada writes, man and woman should not be united simply on consideration of sex life. There are many other considerations, especially character and taste. If the taste and character differ between the man and woman, their combination will be unhappy. Even about 40 years ago in Indian marriages, the taste and character of the boy and girl were first of all matched, and then they were allowed to marry. This was done under the direction of the respective parents. The parents used to astrologically determine the character and taste of the boy and girl, and when they corresponded, the match was selected. This girl and boy are just suitable, and they should be married. Other considerations were less important. And of course, the example is Krishna. When he wanted to marry Rukmini, then the marriage was performed at an auspicious time. When he wanted to marry all the queens, Kalindi and others, the marriages were always performed under consideration of the astrological influences, at least to set an example. Not that I think if he married Rukmini at the wrong time, they would have divorced. Krishna would have been speaking to Rukmini and said, Krishna said, well, actually, I think that you married the wrong person. You know, I'm a beggar and I've taken shelter here, and actually your brother Rukmi had a better match with Shushupal. He would have, you know, worshipped you. It's not that Rukmini said, well, maybe you're right. I was thinking about that, but now that you brought up the subject. No, but at least it set the example for others. So Krishna consciousness is above astrology. So Prabhupada says, there is astrology, there are experienced persons, they can say what was past, what will be in the future. This is one side. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is, even without any knowledge of the past, without any knowledge of the future, you can take the present opportunity, then your life is successful. So of course, it's, if we act according to a certain way, we'll get the results of that particular activity. But the more important thing is our consciousness, whether we're doing it for Krishna and we're doing some activity which is pleasing to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it said, Tyaktva Sadharman Charanam Bhujam Harer Bhujan Napakvo Tatpatek Itoyadi Yatra Kwava Bhujam Abhura Mushakim Kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. That duties tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer. Swadharma means one's own occupational duty, or the duty that one is prescribed. Tyaktva means to give up. Swadharmam charanam bhujam harer. But one takes to the lotus feet of Krishna or devotional service. Bhujanna pakvo tat patet yudovadi. Patet yato yadi, but later on, when before he becomes perfect in his execution of devotional service, he falls down. But what is the loss for him? On the other hand, tyaktvasa dharman charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvo tat patet yato yadi yatra kwava badram abhuram ushakim. So on the other hand, if one perfectly executes his occupational duty, yatra kwa vabhudram abhura mushakim kovarta apto bhajatam sadharmata, but if he's not engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, what has he actually gained? From the point of view of Krishna consciousness, the only real gain is the gain of Krishna consciousness, becoming progressively more conscious of Krishna. So that means Krishna's form, or Krishna's name, his form, becoming aware of his presence, perceiving his qualities, his associates, his activities, etc., his pastimes, his loving exchanges. So this is the expansion of Krishna consciousness, becoming more consistently remembering Krishna with more intensity. More intensity means progressively his name, his form, his quality, and his pastimes being remembered. So this is what we can change, whether we're Krishna conscious or not. But we can't very easily change, or it's up to Krishna whether or not, for his devotees, he's going to change our external activities. But as we can see, generally, the one who becomes a devotee, he does the same type of activity, but he just tries to become Krishna conscious while he's doing it. And that can be shown by astrological charts. Otherwise, how is it that if someone is a devotee, if we just clap our hands and all the lines are removed, then how is it that someone who's doing astrology can more or less tell us what our qualities are and what we're doing? Because for a perfectly pure devotee, that Krishna may completely change around his karma, but that's not very likely. So Prabhupada, Tamil Krishna, what is the position of astrology in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada, astrology is a science. Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with astrology, but is the general custom that as soon as the child is born, the astrologers come. That is the Indian system, Vedic system. Therefore, we can't really completely separate ourselves from the Vedic culture, because even Krishna, when he was born, his parents did his astrological chart. So it wasn't, we can't consider that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda or Devaki and Vasudev, in this case, they were in Maya for having Krishna's astrological chart done. Or that it was, you know, some kind of material activity when they, Gauga Muni, analyzed Krishna's chart. So this is, probably say this is a general custom. And one time he was asked by one Mataji, I forget her name now, whether or not he could have her child Subhadra's astrological chart done. And Prabhupada said, yes, when I'm in Vrindavan, I'll consult with some astrologers there and see if I can get your child's chart done. But of course, Prabhupada also didn't want the devotees to become more dependent on astrology than on Krishna, to find out whether or not, you know, they can shoot through the RT, whether it's a suspicious time or not. Whether it's, you know, of course they won't consult whether it's a suspicious time to take prasadam. That's always auspicious. But for other things, we might be more reluctant. Or, I'm sorry, I can't do this. The guru says, you can go and distribute books. And the disciple says, I'm sorry, according to my astrological chart, you know, that's not my tendency. That's not my propensity. That I won't be very successful, therefore I'm not going to do it. So that's not very good. Because Sharanagati means to go beyond our dharma, sarva dharma pritjaja mame kam sharanam vraja. Krishna says to surrender, sharanam. So that means to accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable, and then to rakshasya titi vishvaso, to depend upon Krishna. Rakshasya titi vishvaso gobdrive sharanam tata, and to think that Krishna will always protect one or maintain one. So for a devotee who wants to advance, then he has to cultivate that attitude rather than cultivate the attitude of, you know, I'm only going to follow what's auspicious. Because auspicious or inauspicious in this material world, ultimately everything is inauspicious if it doesn't help us become Krishna conscious. On the other hand, even something inauspicious, if it helps us become Krishna conscious, is ultimately auspicious.
Where's that coming from?
Any questions about this? Not that we had two heads before and now we have three. Yes.
I think we need to be explained with an untimely death thing. Sometimes we talk about someone that has an untimely death, they may be a car accident. Does that mean that they had a certain amount of stress that was reduced by their own taking a risk, or was it that they only had a certain amount of stress and it is currently due?
Who decided it was an untimely death? I mean, for the person who died, it's probably it all seemed to him like it was untimely. But for everyone else, it might seem like it was the right time. I mean, for other people. So why do they say untimely death usually is a... Yeah, anyhow, that was their untimely. I guess in the human form of life, we have free will. So if we become Krishna conscious, then Krishna can change our tendency. But obviously, if people are not Krishna conscious, and they follow out their karmic lives, disforced by karma, then that was the right time for them to commit suicide. Their whole life led up to that. And then they get a ghost body and they get tortured. So they learn in the ghost body. As long as we're not Krishna conscious, then as long as we just follow the modes of nature under which we're conditioned, then they'll just lead us to a certain destiny. Not really. I mean, subtle form, gross form. It's all part of our karma. Yeah, Prabhupada said only by Krishna consciousness he can either prolong or shorten our life. But ultimately, it's up to Krishna. Yeah, sure. That was his karma. You can shorten your, you can increase your lifespan, or maybe decrease, only by Krishna consciousness. Just like if you're doing some criminal activity, then even the judge, he's obliged to give you a certain sentence. The only person who can help you is, say, the governor. After he passes a sentence that even the judge, he can't withdraw the sentence. Only the governor can help you. So ultimately, only Krishna can really free us from our karmic activities. So as long as we've engaged in different activities in the past, then we have to get the reaction in the present. There's nothing we can do to avoid the reaction. We may change our activities and therefore get, you know, change from maybe ignorance to goodness and try and get a better reaction, but we're bound to get a reaction as long as we're not Krishna conscious. Yes?
It's mentioned in some of this chat that it may leave Krishna consciousness as sort of being spiritual.
How can I say that?
That it might be some inauspicious
thing. Well, that's a good time to take shelter of Krishna if it's inauspicious. Well, then you should definitely take shelter of Krishna and avoid the... If you know that, just like if you find out it's going to rain, the best thing to do is to take an umbrella. Not that it's going to rain, I got to get wet. You know, I might as well just go out and run out in the rain for a while. It's going to rain anyhow. Of course. Yeah, there's no obligation. One can become Krishna conscious under any circumstance. It just depends upon how serious one is. So if one takes the attitude, well, it's going to be a difficult time, I might as well just get into Maya completely, then he's not very serious, that's all. The problem is not his karma, it's his seriousness about becoming Krishna conscious. So if we really want to become Krishna conscious, then under any circumstance we can do it. Yes. For a devotee? Yeah, for a devotee, as he thinks is proper. Of course, he's basically, as he thinks is necessary. Sometimes we can't restrict Krishna. Sometimes he knows because he knows what's best. Sometimes he may give us something we don't deserve. And sometimes he may take something away from us that we deserve. Yasyanu grahami karishe taddanamashanai. If I'm specially merciful to a devotee, who's not so mature, then I take away everything he has, and he becomes poverty-stricken, and he can't do anything, so he comes back to me again. So Krishna knows how to manipulate our lives in such a way as to encourage us to make progress in devotional service. So if we're interested in making progress, then Krishna will help us. And if we're interested in forgetting him, then he'll also help us do that. He'll try and discourage us. But if we're really determined either to become Krishna conscious or to fall into Maya, in any case, Krishna will help us. He won't force us. What's that? Yeah, of course. No one's standing in there in your consciousness saying, you got to do it for Krishna. No, I don't want to do it for Krishna. You got to do it for Krishna. No, I don't want to do it. All right, stop. That's completely free. Isn't that right? Whether we want to do it for Krishna or not, that's completely up to us. Whether we want to make the arrangements in such a way as to make it easier for us to remember Krishna or not, that's also up to us. If we're in the room and we have a choice, to read Bhagavad Gita or to read, Time Magazine, no one's forcing us to pick up the Time Magazine and read it because we're interested in finding out, Time Magazine, Katha. So we have a choice there. By our choice. By our past choice. Yeah. Do you think so? Well, that's why we come in here to the class, so we won't be so helpless. If we get the right understanding, if you find out, if I pick up this Time Magazine, I'm going to become a dog in my next lifetime. If you get that understanding, then you'll think, oh, here's Time Magazine. Oh, wait a second. We find out what's the result of doing such things and we might become a little reluctant. That's why we try and, that's why we hear, so we can find out what the results of the activity are going to be. We find out if we just hear about Krishna and we try and follow his instructions and we can go back to the spiritual world, then we may become inclined, to do that. And if we see that we're making definite progress towards that direction by such activities, and we become inspired to do them more. But at any time, we may even become, as Bhart Maharaj, we may become practically on this platform of ecstasy, practically conscious of Krishna directly, and we may decide, oh, here's a little deer. It reminds me of that little dog I used to have. I forgot to kiss it goodbye before I left home, so let me make up for it. So we may misuse our free will at any moment. But Bhart Maharaj, of course, is an example just to make us more cautious. Not that it's too difficult. Even what Maharaj couldn't do it, so why should I try so hard? No one can blame me. But it's an example of how cautious we have to be. That even if we become too advanced, we can't become lax in our service. Yes.
I have a question about what you mentioned about marriage in ISKCON, that usually devotees only after they have already decided that they are going to get married, that they do a chart like that. So in the Vedic culture, it was the responsibility of the parents, and the parents would automatically naturally know the time of birth. So how will we implement this in ISKCON? Will the authorities, the temple authorities, be responsible, and who will pay the astrologer? And how will we get times of all different
brahmacharis? We can.
There are no times like that.
We
implement that.
Implement? Pass a resolution. That way no one will do it. No, I don't know. This, mostly it's through education. People get inspired to do these things. Therefore they do it. If people are not inspired, it's impossible to get people to do anything. The difficulty is that we're working in a society which has no culture, and therefore in every step people have to be convinced that, you know, this is a good thing to do. Our present culture is, you know, boy and girl meet each other, they fall in so-called love, and that's good enough for them. Whether it lasts or not, it doesn't matter to them. So it's not like we join the Hare Krishna movement and all our past ideas and habits are suddenly, you know, wiped away. We clapped our hands and suddenly I'm a blank slate. Who are you? I don't know. Tell me. You're Das. Yes, I'm Das. No, we're taking our same habits and conditioning and, ideas into devotional service. So some people may be inspired for astrology. Some people may think it's complete Maya. So it depends. We have to develop the culture. And then by developing the culture, then people will be inspired to do these things. But by, you know, for the GBC, your big brother tells you. Big brother is watching you. Did you take down the time? You didn't. All right. Come. Help! We told you to do it. We'd never work anyhow. So unless we establish a culture, then people won't understand, you know, what's the benefit of doing it. Yes.
One commits suicide, is that karma or is it forbidden?
Oh, as I said, in human form of life, if you have an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And by Krishna conscious, you can change the course of your destiny, or at least Krishna can change it. But without becoming Krishna conscious, then people are just acting helplessly under the influence of the modes. So they may have some free will in the sense that while they're helplessly acting, they have a free will, maybe they change their mind. They see they're going in the wrong direction. So some free will be there. And that free will in the future will be taken into account. But presently everyone's acting helplessly under the influence of the three modes. Therefore, as people cultivate the mode of ignorance, then of course suicide will be there. It's not that I'm cultivating the mode of ignorance. My whole life is full of the mode of ignorance, and at the end I'll wind up in the mode of goodness. It won't work like that. Yeah, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you cultivate, if yanti deva vrata devan pitri yanti pritri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajinopimam. If you act like Yanti, a demigod, if you perform the rituals to become a demigod, then you'll become a demigod. If you cultivate worship of the ancestors, then you'll go to the Pitri planet. And if you work like a ghost, then you'll commit suicide and you'll become a ghost. Take intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, like that. If you cultivate the mode of ignorance, then you'll get a body which is just suitable for someone in the mode of ignorance. One of those bodies is a ghostly body. Anything else? Yes. Well, they had sundials and things like that. They had different methods of doing it. I don't know, but there were different Vedic methods. Sariputta would know more about that than I would. But they knew it. I mean, they knew when Krishna was born. That was 5,000 years ago. Kagamuni could once calculate the birth chart. 500 years ago, they calculated Lord Chaitanya's birth chart. So they had the method of ascertaining that. Maybe they were much more accurate in just seeing the stars at night or the placement of the sun. People's brain was much more advanced than it is now. Just like Rupa Goswami, he used to compose everything within his mind. All the scriptures, he edited it, and then he just wrote it down in a palm leaf. It's not that, you know, here's a palm leaf, he wrote it down, wow, it's wrong, give me another palm leaf. No, they compiled huge volumes of books, you know, all within the mind. So people's memories, just like Prabhupada gives the example, even when 100 years ago, the Brahmins were so, had such sharp memories, that there was one Indian man who was by the bank of a river, and two English gentlemen were arguing, and they got into a fight that went to court. And so the only witness at that time was one Indian gentleman, the Indian man who was there, and they called him as a witness, and he repeated verbatim exactly what the two English men had said. And the surprising thing was, is that this man who was repeating verbatim didn't speak English. So that's called a good memory. Krishna consciousness is above astrology. So, and then Prabhupada says the next one is, so this astrological calculations were there, still there are. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Srimad Bhagavatam was written, it was 5,000 years before, it is stated there that in the beginning of Kali Yuga, there will be Buddha avatar, incarnation. Bhavisheka. Bhavisheka means there will appear, these are Shastra. These are astrological calculation, everything perfect. The other day when I was discussed, you know, about Sanatana Goswami, how even an ordinary hotel keeper, he kept an astrologer who told the hotel keeper that this man has got golden dollars. Just see. This is astrology. Even a thief could be guided by an astrologer. And what to speak of others? So that was their system of India. So that example is being placed here by Lord Chaitanya, that the Veda, that is astrology for your guidance. For your guidance. The scripture is your astrologer. He knows your future. He knows your past. Therefore, you should consult. You should consult for our guidance. This is November 27, 1966. Because that man was a palmist. He looked at the hotel keeper's palm, and he said that there's a man who's coming who has 8 golden coins. So that's pretty good palmistry. So much so that when he was going to kill Sanatana Goswami and steal his gold coins. And so Sanatana Goswami realized that this hotel keeper, he's watching after me so nicely that why is he doing this? There must be some reason. Therefore, he asks his servant, Ishan, have you brought some gold coins with you? Have you brought some money? So he said, yes, I brought 7 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami took the 7 gold coins and he gave it to the hotel keeper. I said, better you take it because otherwise someone else will kill me for them. The hotel keeper was so pleased. He said, yes, you had 8 gold coins. So Nathan Goswami then asked Ishan, he said, Ishan, you have probably have 1 more gold coin, right? And he said, how did you know? And therefore he said, take the gold coin and go home. So that's quite accurate. Of course, the amazing thing is that here is a person as an astrologer or a palmist who can tell him so accurately that what the future will be. Therefore, automatically, there's some idea of karma there. But still, Maya is so powerful that in spite of the fact that it's clear that how clearly everything is controlled in this material world, still he's a thief and he's going to kill people to steal their money, unmindful of the fact that he'll have to get the results in the future from it. As I said, just like my mother, she doesn't believe in Krishna at all, but she believes in astrology. So that's called the influence of Maya. No thought about who's conducting astrology or how it's so powerful that it's governing everyone in this universe, but still I believe in it. But as far as a governor, person who's governing the system, that they don't believe in. It's like believing that the city, New York City, is just going on automatically. There was no person who's in charge of it. There's no mayor. There's no there's no people conducting the water supply or the electric supply. It's all just going on naturally or automatically. So this is foolish. Behind every part of the city, there must be a person. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. When the garbage people go on strike, it's not that the garbage just gets automatically collected anyhow. So similarly, to think that astrology can work without people, without controllers behind it, doesn't make any sense. That everyone is being controlled, but there is no controller. That's completely beyond our experience. And then Prabhupada gives, the next part is F, there's no need to go to an astrologer. But the last part said that scripture is our astrologer, because by scripture we can see the future very clearly, to such an extent that it predicted, as Prabhupada used to point out, that in this age, that if men have long hair, Srila Vyasadeva was predicting, that they'll be considered to be very beautiful. Prabhupada used to quote that very often. Or that men and women will get married simply because they like each other. As long as they like each other, they'll still stay married. Or a man will be considered a Brahmin if he just has a sacred thread. That people won't get justice unless they can bribe the judge. All these things are predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto. And we can see it's coming about. And then Prabhupada gives another example. Of course, that example of the man soaring off the branch of the tree, and finally he soars it off and he falls down and runs after the man who had warned him not to saw the branch off, otherwise he'll fall down, saying, oh, you must be an astrologer. So one who understands how the laws of material nature work, then for him there's no real need to go to an astrologer. Therefore, in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Parambuya pravakshami gyananam gyanam uttama yajgatvamunaya sarve param siddhimito gata. Now I'll explain to you knowledge even more, better than I've explained before, about the three modes of material nature. Because by understanding the three modes of material nature, we can understand how everything works in the material world. And by doing that, we'll become inspired to take to pure devotional service, because we'll be able to see the difference in every way between pure devotion. Or we'll be able to see how coming to the mode of goodness is desirable, and beyond that is pure goodness. Any questions about this? Yes. Well, it helps to... I don't know. I'm not such a good astrologer. I can figure out how many good astrologers there are.
I know in Sweden you have this problem. last month and you sent him $50 and he asked him, should I do this or that? And then you say yes and you pay $50.
There's common sense, there's experience, there's other people who have wisdom, their advice. And when everything was clear, the astrologer and everyone else helped to make things clear, then we knew what to do. Being thoughtful, that's all. Not that I should just blindly follow the astrologer. Yes.
Can we prove astrologically that the birth of Guru Krishna, like somebody says, that time, you say the time was a special, and you say yes, because you, like I heard that Kali Yuga, about 5,125 years ago, that one day of February.
Because these things just get into speculation. And this is very clearly explained in the Shastra. And then again, the astrological programs to ascertain what the universe was like 5,000 years ago don't really exist right now. It's very difficult. They're just estimating, according to the present movements of the planets, what they would have been like 5,000 years ago. Very difficult to get such an accurate astrological program. But it says that in the scriptures, like for instance in the Ramayana, there's a description of Lord Ramachandra, where the planets were at the time of his birth. And maybe there's some description of Krishna's planets too, but I don't know. Yes.
You mentioned the example of the astrologer who meditated to find out who Lord Chaitanya was in his previous life. Now this example of the 8 gold coins. It seems there's also an element that the astrology has to have psychic abilities, because these details, it seems that they're like, it's also that they see it, not simply that they calculate.
Well, you have to have a certain, you have to have a certain power to assimilate knowledge some way. Yeah, ultimately you have to get the mercy of the super soul. Krishna has to give you that knowledge. So it depends upon one's previous pious activities. Not everyone's qualified. By mystic power, just like Vyasadeva, by his mystic power, he's able to sit in trance and see the past, present, and future. So that requires some austerity to get that mystic power. Whether the austerity is done by karma yoga, jnana yoga, sangha yoga, or bhakti yoga, it requires some austerity, somehow or another. And then if one is qualified, then Krishna will give him that power to do it. So we have other things to go over, but I think maybe I'll just go over. We have astrology here, and we have interactions. Free will in the future. So, just to summarize about free will, just like if you go on an airplane, so that by your free will you got onto the airplane. But as soon as you get onto the airplane, then you have no free will to get off the airplane when it's off the ground, unless you want to jump. But generally, you have to stay in the airplane. Wherever it's going, you're going to go. But while you're on the airplane, you have certain freedom. You can watch the movie, or you can put on the blindfolds and the earplugs and try and avoid it. You can eat the meal. You may not eat the meal. You can walk around or sit or you see. Although you're restricted by your decision to take that airplane, you can't change it, but still you have certain choices you can make while you're on the airplane. So similarly, by our previous karma, we have this present body, and therefore we have some restriction. But still, while we have this body, there will be some choices we can make. And Prabhupada writes here, as far as liberation, voluntary surrender to Krishna. Regarding your first question, a pure devotee is never under the modes of nature. In other words, no material laws apply on a devotee because he is fully under the direction of Krishna. So a devotee can continue his present occupation or he may change it if he likes. Krishna does not force the devotee because the devotee acts spontaneously according to the desire of the Lord. Of course, you have to really meditate on what that means. He acts spontaneously according to the order of the desire of the Lord, and therefore the Krishna does not force the devotee. He doesn't force him because he just acts spontaneously. In this kind of loving service, there is no question of force. Force is applied only when there is denial of Krishna. Just as the citizens of a state have freedom to follow the laws of the state. In other words, for a devotee, Krishna may give him full freedom. Not that the devotee is, you know, Krishna says, all right, clean the altar, all right, now you're done. What's the next thing, Krishna? All right, you know, run around the park 20 times, chant my name. What's the next thing? All right, clean all the windows. No, a pure devotee is free, and Krishna may give him all kinds of different types of freedom. Not that Krishna is just with him, you know, telling him every moment what to do. Of course, he may do that, but he may give him complete freedom, too, to decide what he wants to do. Just like when Prabhupada was leaving, so the devotee said, they requested Prabhupada to ask him not to leave. So then Prabhupada said, meditate, and then said, Krishna has left it up to me. I can stay or go. What do you want me to do? What do you think I should do? So Prabhupada indicated that there's, for a devotee, there's also an extension, the free will expands. It's more than for just an ordinary person. The clue is given here in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entities are fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. This means that all the qualities of Krishna are therefore present in minute quantity in each of his parts and parcels. That is simultaneously one and different philosophy. The living entities thus have free will because they are parts of Krishna, and Krishna has free will. But the free will of Krishna is supreme, while the freedom of the parts and parcels is minute. So if the living entity out of love subordinates his free will to Krishna, that is his liberation. He is no longer forced to act helplessly, but he acts freely, rendering loving devotional service to Krishna in every way. So he surrenders his free will to Krishna and just leaves it up to Krishna how much freedom Krishna gives him or what he tells him to do. Thus we have the practical conclusion from Krishna confirmed by him in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, just surrender unto me, and in return I shall protect you from all sinful reactions, therefore you have nothing to fear. In this way, astral influences are also material, and therefore they do not affect the devotee, who is thus taking protection of Krishna's internal energy by surrendering his life and soul in the service of the Lord. Of course, it's not that. At every moment there isn't something to be done under certain circumstances. Every moment there's something that Krishna knows best, and mostly there's something that's the proper thing to do under any circumstance. So if we pray to Krishna, what am I supposed to do under these circumstances, then Krishna will tell us what's the best thing to do. And of course the best thing to do is those things which will help us further our Krishna consciousness. And the best things, generally what will help us progress in Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said, is to act like a perfect gentleman. Or a perfect lady. Because Krishna knows everyone's future, does not remove our free will. Someone may commit a theft, and if I know that I know that he'll be captured and punished. That is knowing his future. But know that future does not mean that he had no choice not to commit the criminal act. There are two destinies for everyone. One destiny is in Krishna consciousness, and the other destiny is in material consciousness. So if someone is in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna knows his future, and if he is in material consciousness and acting that way, then Krishna also knows his future. Krishna just knows all the different combinations. In this way, the free will is not affected by knowing the future of the living being. That is an erroneous conclusion. This is a letter to Madhavisa in February 1970. Materially, everything is decided. Regarding free will and predestination, yes, materially, everything is decided. Spiritually, you can make advancement despite all material destiny. Materially, you cannot change things as they are, but spiritually, it is possible.
problem there, and you know you're going to get an accident, and then you not go there, so you don't get that accident.
You have experience like that?
No.
Just like there's some story of one man, he went shopping in a market, and in the market he saw death. So he became very disturbed, and he went back to his master and said, in the market, you know, death was there, and he was looking at me. He looked very, you know, amazed to see me. So I became very afraid, and I ran back here. So his master said, yes, I'll go into the market and find out why death was waiting for you there. But here, you can take my horse and you can drive to the next city and wait for me there if you're afraid. So the man went to the market and saw death there, and he said, why were you so amazed when you saw my service? And he became very disturbed when he saw you. He said, I was amazed because I had an appointment with him in the next city. And here he was in this city. So things may not work out the way we generally think they will. The real freedom begins with freedom from illusion. But when one becomes free from illusion, then practically he gets the same freedom as the Lord does. Just like Narada Muni, it said that, I think there's something, Sri Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. And this is from the purport. Every living being is anxious for full freedom because that is its transcendental nature, and this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. So the example is Narada Muni, because of his surrender to Krishna, he can go anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds by his will. As soon as he desires to go somewhere, immediately he is there because he's so dovetailed with Krishna. We have a freedom to surrender. And even after freedom, even after one becomes completely free, then generally one uses his freedom and he still follows the regular principles by his free will, though, just to set the example for others. Even Krishna does that. Although Krishna can do anything, but still he follows regular principles just to set the example for others. So even when one becomes free completely, still he may do the same thing. That he would do the same thing as if he was conditioned. And there are other things too. Here is one purport where Prabhupada says that astrology can show us that we should not misuse our free will. Should I do one astrological chart here? Someone wanted me to do their chart? Okay.
Not me, actually.
Your daughter. How old is your daughter?
4 years.
Oh, well, okay. Do you know her birth time? Pretty active. Likes books. Books. Yeah. Likes to look at the pictures, especially. Is that true? A little emotional sometimes. Tells you what she likes and dislikes. And Lord of the Third and 12th, and the Third is with Lord of the Seventh, Lord of the 11th. Period of Mars. Pretty active. Mars is 9 and Sun is 18 and Venus is 22. Go to the second, go to the fourth. Well, it'll be hard to see all the qualities that she'll have. This is Mars Moon. Moon's in the third house. Generally, when there's a Manific in the third house, Lord of the third is, she has some younger brothers and sisters. She might, well, maybe in the future she'll have younger brothers and sisters. Maybe. Lord of the first is in the third in Virgo. So that's usually, as we said yesterday, especially since she's a girl, although she's really passionate, but she has another side where she's kind of a little shy and reserved sometimes. So she goes from, sometimes she runs around and is really outgoing and active, and sometimes she's real kind of like quiet and shy and reserved. And sometimes she gets real thoughtful. Sometimes she appears to be quite thoughtful. Any questions? Yes. I'm sure someone can do it, but I'm not the all-knowing astrologer who can do those things. You can see by analyzation of the chart, you can find out, at least in this system, you can find out the person's psychophysical nature and all kinds of things. What they're doing now, what they'll do in the future. What kind of work she's inclined? Get married. That's an easy one. Yeah, she'll definitely be inclined to get married. Well, she'll be a pretty pushy person. She'll really want to get her own way most of the time. She'll be pretty direct about what she wants. If she doesn't get what she wants, then she'll get real meditative. But she has a good mind. She'll like to study. She'll like to hear about Krishna. I mean, if it was a man's chart, she probably would be a warrior or something. But she has a combination between Brahminical and well, a combination, but she's Sun and Mars in the seventh house, Mars exalted. Her Sun is a little weak, so sometimes she gets tired easily. She runs around and she gets really exhausted. Is that right? So she probably does more than she, you know, she doesn't. Moon's in Mercury sign. Mercury's an Earth sign, but still it rules the nerves. So then when she gets tired, then she kind of just sits down and starts thinking or reading or looking at pictures or something. Is that right? Yes. Yeah, you could find that all out. Yeah, sure. Find out who you were. Wow, I was Indra my last lifetime. You think, ah, oh, what happened? There was a mistake. Yeah, I mean, you could do anything. You can find out past, present, and future. Can I do it? No. What's that? The pendulum is not doing anything. It's just telling me where the planets are. I mean, I could tell you where the past lives were, but I mean, I could do it, but it's easy for me to do it. because that way you can never check on it anyhow. See if I was right or wrong. Easy for any astrologer to do it. Usually they're telling you you were a great king in your last lifetime, and you were actually Michelangelo, or you were Julius Caesar. And they'd love, because then you give them more money. Wow, now I found out I was actually, now I'm a bum on the street, but actually I don't feel so bad. Because at one time I was controlling this whole, Italy. I was the king. Just a little mistake, and I, got a few enemies, and now I'm a bum on the street. In the future, I'll be back again. So yeah, you can say anything about the past, present, and future. Anything you want. It doesn't really mean anything. Necessarily. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you all for coming to the class. We hope that by your free will, you all of us engage in Krishna service. And therefore, our fate will only be to go back to the spiritual world. And you won't need an astrologer to tell you that. Although I'm an astrologer, and that's what I'm telling you. So that's the best use of astrology, to tell people that. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.